We stand on the threshold of another year about to break upon this earth. And being humans, no doubt there will be the mixed emotions. And there will be the mixed feelings, both as regards to that which is nearly past and that which in the will of the Lord is about to come in. I might ask tonight, what sort of year has 2007 been to you? I might ask, what sort of influence have you been to others during the year that is almost gone? Or what has your life caused others to do? You see, men, women, young people, we are creatures of emotions. And we're creatures of feelings, of changing feelings. And I, for one, I'm glad tonight that God's salvation doesn't rest, nor does it depend upon feelings. Because there are days when the spirit is high. And there are days when everything seems to be good. And there is the enjoyment about life. But you know, there are other days and it seems the very opposite is the case. It seems that the spirit is depressed. And it's difficult to have the joy about you. And the devil seems to be breathing down your neck. And you know what it is to walk in the valley. And so one day you can be in the heights. Next day you can be down in the depths. I rejoice that God's salvation doesn't depend upon feelings. God's salvation depends upon Christ and what He has accomplished already upon the work of Calvary's cross. And that is something which cannot be altered and cannot be changed. And we rejoice tonight and bless His name. We worship the God who's the God of the mountaintops, but He's also the God of the valleys. And the way in which He leads His people is a way which is unerring. And as we close this year in God's house, I want to suggest to you just three emotions or three feelings that you may have had during this year and no doubt you will have in the year that is to come. And I believe you'll find those emotions in our text in verse 11. And the first one is this. It is that of joy. Let me read the verse. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. No doubt as you look back, there has been the times of joy. There has been a gladness about your soul. You've rejoiced in the goodness of the Lord to you personally. And I might ask tonight, I wonder, has there been the joy in your singing? Has the old hymns of Zion stood out with meaning to your heart? And you have sung them with joy in 2007. For you know, as the redeemed of the Lord, we have a right to shout and sing. Because the way is growing bright and our souls are on the wing. How often do we read of the people of God, and they have a joy about them in their worship, and they have a joy in the praising of the Lord, in the bringing up of the ark, for example, from Kirjath-Jearim. David was to bring it right up into the city of Jerusalem. You know, if you turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 15, you'll see that he was to ordain that there would be those appointed singers and those who are playing upon the musical instruments. 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 16 says, "And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals sounding by lifting up the voice with joy." That was something that was appointed in the bringing of the ark back into the temple of the Lord. There was singing with joy. Has there been joy in your singing this year? Let me ask you something else. Has there been the joy of the Lord in your service this year? In the time of Nehemiah, when there was to be the rebuilding of the walls of that city, even though there were the enemies of the Lord's work all around about them, yet the counsel of God's servant to them was that they were neither to be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How ought we to do the work of the Lord? It is through that joy that the Lord Himself can only give. And what a blessing it will be to others to see the joy of the Lord being our strength. I trust this year that you have known those times of joy, both in church life and in your personal life and walk with God. There's been the joyful times. You know, the Scriptures remind us, of course, that it is possible to lose the joy of our salvation. And when we lose the joy of our salvation, the joy goes out of our song. We can't sing the hymns as we used to sing them. And our service for the Lord, it becomes barren. It becomes motionless. It just becomes mechanical. And so many in Christendom are like that tonight. Lost the joy. The psalmist, because of sin in his life, he had cause to pray unto the Lord. In Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Might need to be a prayer which you need to pray tonight at the end of this year. I wonder, is it your desire to have the joy of the Lord in the year of 2008? Then you'll find it in Christ. If you're not saved, you'll find it in the gospel of saving grace. You'll never find it in this world. But you'll find it in Him. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. You've had joy. But you know there's another feeling or emotion that is found in our text, and which no doubt we have experienced as well. That is sorrow. You see the text, it says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Their sorrow in this world because of and due to sin. It was that which both Adam and Eve were told of the Lord God that they would experience after sin had entered into this world. In the conception of childbirth, Eve was told that her sorrow will be multiplied. In the toiling of the ground, which is cursed by God, Adam was told that he would have sorrow. Sorrow is in this world because of sin. There's sorrow mentioned at the beginning of this world due to sin. And you know, so there will be sorrow experienced toward the end of this world. Because we find it in Matthew chapter 24 of what the Lord said Himself in verse 6. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. They're just the beginning. The beginning of the near of the end of this world. And time as we know it shall be no more. There will be the sorrows. The increase of sorrows toward the end. Sorrow is a reality in this world. Paul the Apostle was to warn young Timothy that the love of money causes many sorrows. The children of Israel, they knew many sorrows when they were under the oppression of their taskmasters in Egypt. There were sorrows caused by the manner in which God's people sometimes walk and sometimes behave. Something that Paul was to experience. For we read in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 3, he says to this church, I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. He feared when he came into their midst that he would see and he would have cause of sorrow instead of a cause for rejoicing. There are sorrows due to separation. There are sorrows due because of the work of the last enemy, death. And this year we have known such sorrow in our congregation, and we have known it in our families. You see, here is something that is which none of us desire, and yet as long as we traverse this earth, there shall be the sorrows of life to contend with. But you know, there are also the sorrows of the heart. And if I can direct your attention again to something the Apostle Paul was to say in Romans 9. He was a man who had the sorrow of heart. He was sorrowful for those who were in sin. And I read in verse 1 of chapter 9 of Romans, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also beareth me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I would wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. If it was possible, he was willing that he himself would be cut off from God, that he would be anathema, so in order that his own kinsmen in the flesh might be saved. Such was the burden, such was the heaviness, such was the sorrow of his heart over those who were still in their sin. I wonder, have you been the cause of sorrow this year? Because even though you've heard the preaching of the gospel, yet you still have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And as our young brother said earlier on, you still are trampling under feet the precious blood of the Savior. You're still in your sins tonight. And you are the cause of sorrow, maybe to a parent, maybe to a neighbor, maybe to a loved one, certainly to your preacher. My dear friend, this new year will no doubt bring sorrows of life. It'll be no different in that sense. But it is our prayer that your soul will be saved. And that you will be a cause of rejoicing, not only amongst the saints of the Lord in this earth, but also amongst the very angels of God in heaven. If you were to meet with Christ tonight, and Christ were to meet with you, then you will have the assurance of an eternity with the Lord one day, in that place where there will be no more sorrow. For the former things shall have passed away. Thank God, that's to where the child of God is going tonight. We're heading home to glory. There'll be no more sorrow there. The sorrows of this earth will have gone forever. Now there's two emotions. The emotion of joy, the feeling of sorrow. But there's another one that I draw your attention to, and certainly you've experienced this year, and that is love. There is the love of family and friends. There's the love of a husband and a wife. I know that especially because every Wednesday night service I mark my wedding anniversary. And so 19 years ago, to this day, our union was formed as man and wife. And if people didn't know it, well, they knew it then we were in love. Because that's why you're supposed to get married, you love your wife or you love your husband. So there's a love between a husband and wife. And that, of course, ought to develop as the years go by. There's a love of a pastor for his congregation. And vice versa. There's a love that is shown to others. I want to tell you, love is a strong emotion. It causes people to do many a thing. It's a strong feeling. But you know, men and women, none of the examples which I have given you tonight ought to be the love that we have for the one who first loved us. Our text, you see, speaks that, although it doesn't use the word love, it speaks of the redeemed of the Lord. And those who are saved tonight, those who are washed in the Savior's blood, we can say tonight, we love Him because He first loved us. The Apostle John could go on and say, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins, to turn away God's wrath for us. And because we've been loved by Christ, which was undeserving, then there ought to be that love for the brethren, and there ought to be that love for one another in the family of God. Has that been shown to those around you this year? Has the love of Christ emanated from your person that others can look on and see that you're different, that others can see that you belong to Christ? Is your desire for the new year that you might have a deeper love for the Savior and for the things of God? Oh, may the Lord grant each one of us that greater love, that deeper love with Him. And then we shall be able to be those who fulfill the commandment which Christ gave to His people, as we find it in John 13 and verse 34. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. It's a blessing to be able to love those of precious like faith. And there, men and women, are just three emotions, three feelings that I suggest that every one of them, all of us have experienced in 2007. Every one of us experienced joy. Every one of us have experienced sorrow. Every one of us have experienced love. But you know, in closing, consider with me that they were seen and they were known in Christ in a greater measure at Calvary. For He was one who had joy. I read in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. He counted it a joy to redeem His people from the slave market of sin. But He was also a man who knew sorrow, for He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The Savior would have you, dear soul, to stand at the cross tonight afresh at the very close of 2007. And He would indeed cause you to behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. On that cross, the wrath of God that was poured out upon Him. He was that man of sorrows right from His incarnation to the time in which He laid down His life on the cross. And He endured that cross, and there He paid the punishment for our sin that He might bear it away so that the guilty soul might go free. There was the joy about the Lord at Calvary. There was sorrow about the Lord at Calvary. He knew sorrow. And He was one who gave Himself to that suffering. And gave Himself to that sorrow because He loved us. Greater love hath no man than this. Than a man laid down his life for his friends. Yes, despised and rejected of men. Yet He loved His own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. And that end meant going to Mount Golgotha, Mount Calvary. That end meant Him laying down His life on the cross to die as a sinner's substitute and to shed His precious blood. He loved the souls of His people with that everlasting love. That love, men and women, which doesn't go up and down like ours does. But that love which is everlasting, that will span and will transcend every new year and into all eternity. Wonder, have you experienced the love of Christ for your soul? If not, then the gospel invitation goes out one more time this year. That you might close in with His offer of mercy just now. That you might be saved. And I tell you, you'll go home with the joy of the Lord in your heart. And you'll go home with a new love. You'll hate the things that you used to love and you'll love the things you used to hate. And best of all, you'll love Him who gave His life for you. Come to the Savior tonight, even as we pray into 2008. You bow your head where you are. You don't need a preacher. You don't need anyone. But as Aaron said, you do need to realize that you're a sinner. And you're lost and you're undone. And you need Christ as your Savior. And pray that the Lord might save your soul. Save you from your sins, repenting of your sins and turning to Him. And taking Christ as Lord and as Savior. God help you to do so. May the Lord bless His word to each of our hearts for His own name's sake. Let's have a wee word of prayer. It's just 12 o'clock now and we're going to pray as we see the new year in. Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord for Thy word to our hearts tonight again. We thank the Lord for these emotions that we have considered. We bless the Lord, we see them in Christ. We thank the Lord, He was one who had joy. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, the joy of redeeming His people. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And he was one who loved us even unto the end. O God, we thank Thee tonight for the finished work of Calvary's cross. And Lord, we pray as we have come into 2008, that as Thy people, Lord, our love for Christ would be deeper. And O God, we pray that the joy of the Lord would be our strength in a greater measure. And Lord, even through those times of the valley experience, those times where we'll know the sorrow of heart, we ask, O God, that Thou wilt prove to be that Saviour who never leaves nor forsakes, and Thy grace will be proved to be sufficient. We pray, Lord, for those who have given us cause for sorrow of heart this year, that, O God, they would be saved. Lord, in 2008, they will be redeemed by precious blood. They will be sought and won for Christ. The very angels in heaven will be rejoicing over that sinner that hath repented. Thank the Lord for that which is past. Thank the Lord for the souls saved last year. Thank the Lord for the people who were edified and built up on their most holy faith. Thank the Lord for restoring those that were wandering and backslidden. And O God, we pray yet that Thou wouldst give us a blessed year in 2008. Lord, we pray that the blessings will be multiplied. And O God, that Thou wouldst own this work of Thyself. Thou wouldst bind the devil, Lord. And we pray, O God, that new inroads will be made into this part of the vineyard. And Lord, new souls will be reached for Christ. And Lord, that Thy borders will be extended, and the stakes will be strengthened, and the cords will be lengthened. O God, much praise and glory will be given to Thy great name. So, Lord, accept our thanks for Thy presence with us tonight, and abide further with us, we pray in our Saviour's name.